Hey, this is Mitch Gallagher from Sweetwater. September is Guitar Month here at Sweetwater, and all month long we have exclusives, limited time offers, 48-month interest-free financing, price drops, instant rebates, giveaways, and so much more. Check it all out at sweetwater.com or call 800-222-4700.
Welcome back to the Chasing Tone podcast. Today my guest is Blake Weiland. He's back with me, and we talk a lot about recording guitar. All things recording guitar. So let's jump into it.
What's going on, Brian? Anything interesting?
Well, again, today's episode is sponsored by Iced Coffee. Homemade brew.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, big old full glass. But apparently, my iced coffee discussions aren't as popular with some as I thought they might be.
Hmm. Well, I feel like, you know, people could really, they would feel like they're missing out on something. You know, you're sitting here talking about like, oh, the bead of moisture just rolled gently down the glass as I enjoyed my delicious beverage of iced coffee. And everyone's just sitting there going, yeah, well, I got this lukewarm McDonald's thing here in my car on the way to work. And thanks, Brian. I'm glad your iced coffee is so much more delicious than mine. That's probably why.
I'm sure it's exactly what it is. And I know everyone listening to a guitar gear topic or guitar gear podcast based around guitar tone and effects, I'm sure that they're wanting to hear, you know, topics on iced coffee. Because why wouldn't
and
you?
And dad shoes.
And dad shoes. I did a video, a couple weeks ago where I showed my shoes. And I had several people comment that they were disappointed in my choice of shoes because apparently they thought I was actually going to wear the white whatchamacallums.
The New Balances I forget was the Nike one. Right. The Air Monarchs.
Air Monarchs, that's what it was, yeah. And I'm like, and they're disappointed. They're like, those aren't the shoes I thought you would be wearing. Disappointed. Thumbs down.
Well, to be fair, we did talk about it a lot. Like, quite a bit. Probably more than we should have.
What would be appropriate? 20%? 30% of the podcast? I don't know.
I feel like maybe 15. We can rein it into a tight 15% of dad attire speech.
You know, if I was Nike and I was trying to sell Air Monarchs, I would definitely target all the dad rocker podcasts and dad guitar gear podcasts and sponsor them. You know, I mean, can you imagine this
heavily.
Podcast sponsored by Nike Monarchs? When you need to mow grass, we get it done. You know,
hey, we can come up. Hey, I tell you, I just came up with a super like I didn't do it on purpose, but I listened back to it. We've talked about Sweetwater a lot, and we'll probably continue to do that in these coming episodes. But
probably,
I recorded a spot for the Tone Mob podcast. And listened back to it. And it was like, I put too much effort into it to have to redo it. But it was like, this sounds like a morning radio DJ doing a sponsorship spot. Like, there's even a moment of like, hey. Like, I'm like, what is this character that just came out in this commercial? Like, I don't like this guy at all. This is not good.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Sweetwater Cell.
Yeah, it was like, I got done listening to it. I even had to like, I even like said like, on a recording, like, I sound so stupid or something. I'm like, I'm leaving this in. I'm just putting it in. So if you want to hear a really cheesy spot, in any episode will do. You can listen to any Tone Mob episode.
Basically, any of the Tone Mob podcasts, yeah.
Yeah. But something I did want to talk to you about,
sure.
Mr. Wampler, it's came up so much lately, and I want to get your take on it. Is actually recording guitars. So I've been doing way more recorded music and recorded stuff lately. Just showing pedal demos on Instagram and a few other things. And I have finally got to where I'm pretty comfortable actually just throwing the mics up in the room. And I know my spots and I know where it sounds good. And so I've been talking about it lately. But I want to know, like, when you're recording at your place, like, what does the recording side look like? What's the rig from the mic back, and how do you do all that?
So, are you talking about recording songs that I'm like messing around with, or like a video? Because it's kind of two different processes.
Well, how about we talk about both of them?
Okay. So if I'm recording a video and let's say it's, you know, it's not like a product video. It's not like, all right, and here is the Terraform, you know, and that, you know, it's not a product specific video. It's more like three ways to make your guitar tone sound like Slash or whatever.
Right. Just a regular content type thing that you would do.
Yeah. Right. So generally I'll figure out what amp I want to use, mostly determined by my mood that day. And then I run that into a Two Notes captor. That's an attenuator and also a direct box. So kind of a direct box where it takes the signal from between the amplifier and the speaker and sends it into my Focusrite Sapphire Pro 40. That's my interface that connects to my computer. And so you're just getting that raw guitar sound, right? And then I just use impulse responses from Celestion. Hang on, let me move the mic here a little bit. Celestion, Onehammer, and Rosin Digital. Generally, Onehammer and Celestion are my go-tos. And really, I've kind of narrowed it down over, you know, a period of time of having all these impulse responses, but I figured out like, okay, when I'm using this cabinet, these are the speakers that sound like these speakers, these mics, this room, etc., sounds like my cabinet. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's just what way works for me because I'm trying to get it to sound on the computer just like it sounds in the room. That's really what I'm going for. So I'm literally mixing for one guitar sound. I may have seven different impulse responses on it. So I'll have two different mics on it. And when I say mics, these are from the impulse responses.
Right. Digital mics.
Right. So, I think, have we discussed how an impulse response is created before? I think we have.
Yeah, okay. We went over that.
Okay. But
nutshell version is it's a digital clone of the way a speaker cab responds in the room, in the mic. It just, they kind of vary. I guess you use them more than I do. What am I doing talking about?
Right, sort of. I mean, because a digital clone kind of would be, I would equate that more to like a digital EQ, which is what some cab sims are. And help me get back on topic here in a minute, but just to kind of explain for those who may be new to this podcast or probably haven't listened to the other 200 some podcasts that we've done where I may have mentioned it a few times. So an impulse response is let's say you have your guitar cabinet mic'd up with a Shure SM57 and, you run a signal to a power amp, a very clean power amp into that cabinet. And you, using that microphone, you go back into your computer and it kind of does a measurement. It says, okay, this sound through this cabinet coming out this speaker in this room with this mic sounds like this. So it's like a snapshot. And so an impulse response will be that across all different variables. So different microphones, different speakers, different cabinets, different rooms. And rooms are huge because there's a lot of room sound that goes into it. Back of the cabinets, just there's a million different variations you can do it. So I have multiple different mics on it, both front and back. I have room mics on it, all in an effort to try to get it somewhat what it sounds like in a room. In fact, the last video I did kind of dived in a little bit on that, but kind of in a backwards way. So that's what I'm trying to do on the video. I'm just running into a DAW, running a bunch of impulse responses on it, and boom, that's what you got. If I'm recording a song, like something I'm working on, if it's an idea, I'll still just use an impulse response. But if it's something I'm, you know, I need a particular sound, and I know that it's going to be, I know it's going to be a cranked bassman with a ribbon mic. And a 57 on it, I may actually go ahead and mic that up, move mics around to specifically where I want it. And that process might actually take six or seven hours. Seriously, just moving mics, seeing how it sounds, move mics again, seeing how it sounds over and over and over and over and over. But that's like if that's a recording that I know is like that's this song, and you know I'm gonna make a song and sell it and be a band. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't happen very often with me. So that process is radically different than recording at home for a video or for fun.
Yeah, that is interesting. We're doing kind of the same thing, except I'm a little more old school with it. I kind of blend the two techniques in some ways, because I'm also trying to get things to sound how they sound in the room to me. And I struggled with that for the longest time. Like because all my prior recording experiences, I say it's recording experience. I'm really just playing guitar. And then my friends who knew what they were doing would do everything else, like set up the mics, run all of the outboard gear. I was just playing guitar. So I didn't really know what was going on. I'm like, yeah, well, I guess we'll just throw an SM57 on this cab and it's going to sound great.
You guys work your magic. I'll be over here playing.
Yeah, I'll just be here doing my thing. So when I tried to just quote unquote throw an SM57 on it and have it sound good, guess what? It didn't sound very good. So I had to do kind of the same thing, playing around with the mics and all that stuff, because I was struggling with the exact same thing. I was like, how do I get it to sound like it sounds in the room? Like, I want people to hear what I'm hearing.
Right.
And I just didn't realize how many microphones that took.
Yeah, and in all reality, I mean, depending on what type of music you're recording or creating, there's times where you don't want the sound of the actual amp in the room. You want the sound of a mic'd amp in a certain situation. So for example, let's take Boston. Let's take the classic rock band Boston. It's a very nasally mid-rangey sound, and it's yes, the guitar and amp sounds like that on its own, but not exactly like the recorded sound. So the recorded sound is very specific. If you listen to it isolated, you're probably going to be like, oh, that's so thin and terrible. But once you get the bass around it, the drums around it, all the other instrumentation and vocals and everything else, it just fits, right? We've talked about that before, how the guitar tone just fits in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
If you're recording that, you know, that plexi in the room, sometimes it's so big and full that it kind of clouds up things. It takes stuff that the bass guitar should be doing. It takes up that spectrum, or the bass drum. And next thing you know, your mix sounds really like bass heavy in a bad way. In other words, it's just very, I don't even know how to describe it.
There's no detail to it.
Yeah. Just, there's no detail at all. It sounds great on its own, but with everything else going on, it's too massive. It takes up too many frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. I mean, so that in that case, you very much might not want any room mics.
Like, right.
It's all about what you're trying to do. But like for me doing pedal demos, I'm trying to when you're making YouTube videos and whatever thing, it's like, yeah, I'm just trying to show you what this sounds like to me. Like, I want you to experience what I'm experiencing so that it's accurate. And what's amazing is sometimes I don't have to do that much to it. Sometimes, it is just set the mics up and, hey, you know what? That sounds pretty good. But with certain pedals and in this room in particular, on the room mic, I'll get buildups of low frequencies when I'm doing something that maybe really accentuates bass.
Right.
So I got to EQ it down a little bit, because in the headphones and the speakers, it doesn't sound like what I'm hearing while I'm playing. So I have to literally pull a bunch of low end out of the room so that it's closer to what my ears are hearing.
Yeah. And I notice even on the platform, whether it's Instagram or YouTube or Facebook or whatever, even if you mix it down to an MP3, your final guitar sound is mixed down to an MP3 and it's uploaded, they're adding their own algorithms to it as well. And it doesn't always sound exactly the same. It does. I mean, I know people argue about it, but after, I don't even know how many videos I've done, it just doesn't sound the same.
No. And I don't know if that's because of something they're doing, or if it's the compression, by the time you upload it, they might be compressing it there. They also might be compressing it on delivery.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what they're doing, but it definitely sounds different.
Right. So what you sometimes think, this is going to sound massive, at least my experience with it is, and you think it's going to be great, and then you upload it and you listen back and you're like, what the hell happened to my guitar tone?
Well, I've also noticed how much it varies, like, with, like, on the phone. So I've said before that, like, if it sounds good on your iPhone speaker, it'll probably sound good in real life. And I still agree with that for the most part. But I also have noticed through doing this process that, like, when I mix, like, a really nice sounding stereo image and, like, I've got things, like, hard panned and everything's dialed in the way I want, if I'm not listening on headphones or in a car stereo or something better than an iPhone, it sounds terrible. And, like, there's not enough, the speakers are so close together on the new iPhone, so when they do quote-unquote stereo, it's not wide enough to actually spread it out.
Right. Yeah.
So it sounds really strange sometimes coming through those speakers. And then you'll plug in headphones and be like, this is one of the most glorious things I've ever heard.
It's like it's made for headphones, you know?
It's almost like it was mixed that way. It's weird.
So peculiar. Yeah.
But the biggest thing for me in getting good overdriven and dirty tones, like, that was driving me bonkers for the longest time is actually just recording two tracks and panning them. I found, like, that I was like, oh, here's all these overtones that were being covered up because they were being canceled out by each other. And so, like, it's almost standard practice for me to have minimum of two microphones no matter what I'm doing, just so I can pan them differently and hear all those little details.
That's another totally thing. Yeah, that makes a huge difference, especially with headphones.
And it doesn't have to be expensive mics. I'm using a SM57, and my room mic is a MXL V250. Not perfect, but it sounds certainly totally serviceable.
Yeah, I was telling someone on the Wampler group on Facebook, he was asking about, I forget what the question was, but I was telling him about, it's about a guitar tone that I had on there. And I was just saying that, you know, what mics I was using, and it was IRs. And I was like, well, it's an impulse response of a Royer 121 ribbon and a 57. I said, but, you know, if you're wanting to get that sound, you know, live or something like that, I wouldn't really use a ribbon live personally. But if you wanted to, I mean, just you can get a close enough approximation with a good MXL mic. And I know that those MXL mics get a bad rap, especially from a lot of the gear snobs, such as us guitar players. But the reality is, I mean, by the time you compress things down and upload it to something that's going to destroy the sound of it, it's the difference is not that big, especially when someone's listening on an iPhone speaker.
It's kind of like what we were talking about. Like, if you're doing a song, like, for an album, yeah, spend the time if you can and get if you can afford it or rent it or whatever, get the nice ribbon mic. And if, you know, when it's that important, and not to say that pedal demos aren't important, but at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of two different things. If I'm putting, you know, effort and thought and soul and blood and sweat and tears and whatever else into a song that I really love or really believe in, then that's different than me just trying to show you generally how something sounds.
You know, and it's weird because I was sitting here thinking, with a song, we're thinking this is going to live on forever. At least that's how I feel it. Like, if I'm making a song and I know it's going to be, you know, on an end product, whether that's on Spotify or on a CD or whatever, on a tape cassette, on a good mixtape, I tend to feel like it's more permanent than it is uploading to YouTube. And that's totally wrong. I was sitting here internally thinking, like, I probably should look at my YouTube videos the same way, because who knows, in 60 years, there may be somebody listening to those YouTube videos then as well. I don't know. Maybe it's just me overthinking.
Or maybe this podcast. Uh-oh. Oh. That would be weird. You mentioned MXL microphones, and I have to tell everybody something.
Yeah.
If you hate MXL microphones, I understand. They're not the greatest thing since sliced bread, but you're hearing one right now. So, you know, they do the job. It was $50, you know?
And they're super inexpensive for what they are. I mean, if you're comparing a $100 ribbon mic to a $1,500 ribbon mic, the comparison for the price is pretty good, man. It's pretty good. Now, if I had my choice, of course I'd be using a lot better mics, you know? If I'm in a studio somewhere, generally then, you know, you'll use whatever mic the situation calls for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what though? It's most of the time on guitar stuff, SM57 is involved.
It's generally like a 57.
Almost every time.
Yeah. Especially if it's a rock guitar, there's a 57 on it, I bet you. Yeah.
Almost guaranteed. Everyone uses it in every studio ever.
I remember I was with years ago, I was with Tim Rosenau, who played guitar for Toby Mac. And this is back when Toby Mac was a little bit more rock based. If you don't know who Toby Mac is, he's like he's a Christian artist, but I don't know if it's not really praise and worship type stuff, but it's at that time it was like
contemporary.
Christian metal. Yeah. Yeah. But this is like 2004 or 5 or something like that. And Tim's a good friend of mine. So I've, you know, every now and then I would just give him a prototype or something to mess around with and see how it worked on the road for him. And he was always I'd take it to him and he's like, I would love to play this now, but I really want to hear it in front of my amp with a 57 on it with my in-airs. Like that was how he referenced everything is, you know, his live sound through his amp on stage with the 57 in front of it. So to hear it in the room, it just wasn't something that he was able to give an accurate assessment of.
I mean, I get it. If like 99% of your guitar playing is done in that situation, of course. Like 99% of my guitar playing is done sitting right here where I'm sitting right now. And so, like, of course, that's going to be the best reference point. It doesn't matter if it's the best, like, ideal listening environment. If you're used to it, you're going to hear the changes in your rig. Like, he's used to hearing it like that, so he's more going to be able to pick up the like differences in various overdrives because that's what his ears are tuned to.
Yep. You said something a minute ago that made me think. I'm so used to sitting in front of my iMac and playing stuff that whenever I play with the band, I almost feel like I would be more comfortable sitting down with a monitor in front of me. It feels so weird to stand up a lot of times and play and, you know, play parts that I probably shouldn't be playing. Good Luke Bryan songs, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Wait, that's
I'm
a
kidding.
Thing?
No,
sounds
I actually...
Like, sounds like an oxymoron.
I haven't played Luke Bryan stuff for a long time. Mm-mm. No, not really.
I've been fortunate to... never mind. I'm being stupid. Okay, I'm going to say it anyway. I've been fortunate to not have to hear any Luke Bryan stuff in a long time, so there's that.
Well, that's your personal preference, you know?
Yeah, that's right. If you like Luke, if you, that's your thing, I'm sorry. I mean, good on you. But if you... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Look at you. I'm just digging my hole. Haters. Are you dabbing right now? You doing the dab?
If I had a clue how to do that, I would dab on the haters, but I don't know how. I'm so bad with all of that stuff. Like I find I'm getting so old so fast.
There's got to be a YouTube channel to teach dads how to dab. You know,
is it still a thing? That feels very 2016. No,
that's very 2016, but that's just for an example. I don't know what the new thing would be, but you know. Yeah,
backpack kid or something. I'm not sure. I can't keep up with these kids.
And
their TikToks and their Twitters and their Twitches.
Dude, TikTok is picking up, man. I've been contemplating getting on it.
I am on it.
Are you?
I just started putting up videos there.
Really?
I'm not doing it in the way that it's supposed to be done, though. I'm just putting like short clips of pedal stuff, and surprisingly, people are like answering it.
And, really?
Like, looking, like already, I'm like, I'm just putting up weird pedal clips. Like, I put up a clip on Instagram, and then I was like, this seems more like a TikTok video. And it's just, I had this riff with the Earthquaker Bit Commander that I come up with, And I was like, this is kind of cool, but I have no footage for it. And so I just bounced the Bitcommander off of an inflatable pool for like a minute and a half while this riff played. As dumb as it sounds, it was kind of a fun video. And it was it did pretty good on TikTok for having literally zero followers.
You know what this means, right?
It's a strange thing. I don't know what it means. What's it mean?
Well, I mean, we grown-ups ruin everything. So give it another 5 or 6 years, and we'll be talking about our gear group on TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about going to Discord too. I mean, everything's changing. Everything's changing up. Everybody's switching platforms.
I don't blame them. Trying to get away from freaking politics.
Probably so. Probably so. So, who are you voting for?
Awkward silence. Insert awkward silence here.
So, who are you voting for, Brian? Let's talk about politics.
Let's talk about Donald Trump on this. No, I'm kidding. Let's not talk about anything political, because one, I don't want to go to sleep, and two, I don't want to talk about it.
I say we talk about a lot of things on this show, but I can pretty confidently say that's not going to be a subject we will ever deep dive into, because well, A, we're not qualified, and B, we get enough of that from Facebook, so we're good.
Very true. Yeah, I get my fill inadvertently from Facebook. Even though, I'll be honest, I have not been on Facebook for like 6 days now, and it's been glorious. It's been amazing. It's been fantastic.
You know what you need to do, Brian? And I think I've told you this off the air, but I don't think I've ever told you this on the air.
You think I'm cute. You think I'm cute. That's what you're going to say.
Oh, yeah. I've told you that on the air, off the air, on the internet. Everyone knows.
I'm sorry, Blake. I'm a taken man.
Yeah, I know. I know. But a boy can hold out hope. I'm going to be doing this later, which is why it came to my brain. And like, just in the interest of decompressing, one of those float tanks, man.
I think you need to get in
a float tank.
I got to. The thing I don't want to do is I don't want to have any hallucinations. And that's because I know me very well. And the last thing I need is hallucinations.
You're not going to hallucinate.
Even as a kid, like, I wasn't really one to try the LSD. You know, I don't have a problem with people do. Most of my friends did. I just, even as a young 20 something, I'm like, I'll probably sit this one out, guys. I don't think that's for me, you know.
I'll just be honest, seeing stuff that's not there has never been high on my priority list. I'm just saying. I'm throwing it out there. I'm with you on that.
I've always like internally been a very, very deep introspective thinker. Not like, you know, I'm not going to start making AI algorithms or anything, but I mean, as far as introspective on my life and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And adding a drug that makes it even worse is not something that sounds even remotely fun.
Yeah. Yeah, the float tanks are different, though.
I say that because, I've heard the float tanks can have a similar effect as LSD or, you know, some type of hallucinogen like that.
That's never been my experience. I've only done it 3 times. But for me, and then also I was able to talk my dad into it too, and he thoroughly enjoyed it as well. And so it's, to me, it was more just like, you know how good you feel since you haven't been on Facebook for 6 days?
Yes.
Imagine being even more like as unplugged from the world as you can possibly be, but only for like an hour. This hour is only going to feel like about 20 minutes for me. Every time I've done it, it's like it's been an hour session, but it feels like about 15 or 20 minutes to me. It's kind of crazy.
What do you think about when you're all alone in that tank with you and just your thoughts? What's running through your head, Blake?
How can I get more fuzz pedals?
I have
That's
them
generally
all.
It.
Why isn't there more fuzz pedals being made by companies that are named Wampler?
That's right. I wish that Wampler had more fuzz pedals so I could acquire them.
I wonder if Brian's working on more fuzzes.
You're pretty much going through all my thoughts.
All your internal questions will soon be answered, Blake.
No, but in a serious, like a serious, like musical related tangent, mm-hmm. I actually do think about like lyrics and structures that I've found. Lyrics specifically.
Really?
Yeah. Lyrics are important to me. I think I like, and some people don't really listen to them.
Yeah, they get in the way of the guitar.
Yeah, they're super important to me. And I think it's probably why my hatred of bro country is so intense. I love well-crafted lyrics. Why I'm such a Isbell fan and Dustin Kensrue from Thrice, who have talked about it,
yep,
you know, at length. Like they're really good lyricists too.
Yeah, I've got respect for it. I just can't get into it.
Yeah, it's really important to me, and so I always, yeah, it's something that, you know, if I got a melody idea I'm working on, I've definitely come out with better, more improved ideas, which I'm hoping happens today because I got a thing that's not quite clicking. So we'll see. But ultimately, like the greatest part is, it's just like, ah, I got to be as unplugged as you can possibly be for a while. And that's rare these days.
Is that better than, you know, going into the middle of the wilderness away from all, you know, sounds and, you know, any signs of society?
I think that's different. I think you still have a connection there. Like you still are mentally connected to what's going on around you. Like what you're seeing, what you're experiencing. There's still a lot of input out in the wilderness. This is an attempt to shut off as much input as possible. So it's impossible to make it completely, like, you know, you're like in water and like you can, like, sometimes if you moved around too much, there's a little bit of salt taste in your mouth because like it just touches your lips. Don't drink it.
Oh, nasty. Even the potential to swallow that.
Well, don't swallow it. Just close your mouth.
Oh, gross.
No, it's not. It's not that bad. Like, I'm just saying, like, you're probably going to have like a little bit of sensation. Like you're definitely going to have some sensation because you can't shut down your nervous system. But this is as close as you can safely get to that. I didn't do a very good sales job on that.
All was fine and good until you said, you know, keep your mouth closed or else you're going to get a bunch of salt water in your mouth. Old salt water in a tank that a bunch of other people been in.
Well, what's nice though is you can see like they're not, it's not just like a tank. It's not like it's some dude's with a 55-gallon barrel that he's cut in half. it's like hooked up to this ozone machine. I don't know if you've ever seen those, but I don't know all the process, but I'm not at all concerned about the cleanliness of the water, ironically. I was at first, but once I seen it was like, looks pretty clean. Looks a lot cleaner than the pool I just swam in. So I think we're probably okay.
That's another thing that I stay away from. I get it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a fan of the pools. Nope.
No, I know.
Drains.
The Wampler Boutique hand sanitizer exists for a reason.
Yeah, I don't like drains. Yeah, that's my thing.
Oh, I forgot about drains.
Yeah.
It's drains. You're going to get sucked down the drain.
I don't like drains. Uh-uh. Don't like them. Nope. Not even in the shower. Even in the shower, I avoid the freaking drain. Tell me that's
You put a washcloth over it?
No, I just suck it up, you know?
You just live in fear while you're showering. Don't get me, drain.
I just look at it and stay away from it.
Yeah. Not putting my finger near that drain.
Oh, no. No, there'll be no touching the drain with the foot. Nope. Mm-mm.
Well.
I realize that those listening still at this point are thinking, what did I get myself into?
They're like, what is this podcast even going on about right now? So we should probably shut up before it gets worse, right?
Oh, it's up to you. You know, I've got nothing going on, you know, all week, just hanging out. Chilling out until next week, you know, the next podcast. Actually, I take it back as we record this. Last week's podcast was epic, wasn't it? You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Last week's podcast was so great. We're super not recording this before it comes out.
Right. Yeah. Last week was great.
This podcast is not 2 weeks old. We've never done that before.
Oh, yeah. So really, I guess actually at this time, now I think about it, unless you want to hop off, you know, hit the old stop recording button, we really could mention the Sweetwater gig.
I guess we could, couldn't we?
You know, I think you said something about Sweetwater earlier and, you know, it raised my spidey senses for a minute. But yeah, we basically can talk about how awesome it was. Actually, we don't really want to talk about it at this point because by now it's been on like 18 different podcasts, including Tone Mob.
I think nobody wants. Yeah, exactly. I don't think anybody wants to hear that anymore.
Yeah, so we won't have to talk about that since you've already been subjected to so much of it in your podcast listing schedule.
Oh, and for that we hope you enjoy it because it's pretty cool. Are we going to keep it mysterious, or should we say something about it, or should we just stop?
We'll just, you know, if you don't know what we're talking about, stop right now and Google Guinness Book of World Records pedal board. How about that?
There you go. Perfect. Perfect way to close out the podcast.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, Blake.
Bye.
And thank you so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. Hope everyone likes it. If you'd like to reach me, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. You can email Blake directly at info@tonemob.com. Also, don't forget to check out his own podcast. He does a lot of interviews with a lot of interesting people. Just look up The Tone Mob. You can check that out. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.